One of the things that my family and I recently did, a couple days ago, we went downtown San Diego and enjoyed a restaurant. We felt in the mood for Mediterranean, and we did a search and found a nice Mediterranean restaurant downtown San Diego in the Gaslamp District, close to the Ball Stadium. And while we were there, I was choosing what to drink on the menu, and they had what they called jalab. I've never heard of this drink, jalab. It was not an alcoholic drink, but it was fruit juice with rose water in it. I was curious about it, so I ordered it, and it was very unique, and I thought that it was unique enough to ask the rest of my family to taste. So I gave it to my youngest son first, asked him how it was. He said it was good. Gave it to my youngest. He, too, said it was good, although he didn't take as long of a sip. Being sweet, I was not surprised that they said that it was good. I gave it to my wife. She said it was bad. I enjoyed it. But it was sweet, fruity, kind of like Kool-Aid mixed with rose perfume. So you might imagine why my wife did not enjoy it as much as I did. But it was interesting. But it caused me to think, to ask the question, was this odd drink good or was it bad? I thought it was good. The rest of my children thought it was good. My wife thought it was bad. So was this drink good or was it bad? No way of really objectively measuring that. It's very subjective to answer that question. Now, we judge between good and bad all the time. We evaluate what we do, what our options are, and we make choices, typically choosing what we think is good. What we think is good. That doesn't mean we're right, right? So a choice that we make may seem like it is a good choice, but that doesn't mean that it is measurably, objectively right. Now, God makes judgments between good and bad, too. He is the judge, the perfect judge of what is good and bad. If we turn over to Genesis 1 and 31, we can read that he's been doing this from the very beginning of time. Genesis 1 and verse 31, something very familiar to us all. Here we read, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good." Morning, or the sixth day. Very simple. At the end of the sixth day, he has completed a vast amount of creation. And what does he say? Everything that he had made. And indeed, there's no question here that it was not good. It was very good. Very good. And that is God's judgment. There's no question of God thinking that this was good and having somebody else think that it was not good. It was. This is stated in very clear, authoritative terms. There's no question. Unequivocally, the creation of God was good. He made this judgment. Now let's turn over the page to Genesis 3 and verse 22. This is an event after Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A very significant event, right? They have been presented with good and evil, the option. Pardon me. Trying to keep my cell phone from buzzing there for you, my little stopwatch there. Adam and Eve had the option. They made a choice to eat of the knowledge of good and evil, even though they were told not to. They were deceived, And what happened? Genesis 3 and verse 22 tells us, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever.'" And continuing, "And therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." So there was a punishment associated with this. Knowledge of good and evil was acquired at that point. Now, what is unique about that? What's unique about that is that they were no longer relying on God to make that judgment between good and evil. They took it upon themselves at that point. They were given the knowledge of good and evil, but they were no longer relying on God's judgment. And this is problematic. As good as God created man, he created man in a fleshly, carnal, corruptible state. And because of this, there is an opportunity for pride. There is an opportunity to take this knowledge of good and evil and take it upon man's own self to make those judgments for himself or herself. Just because there is knowledge of good and evil does not mean that the knowledge of good or evil that man has is the same as God's. The only thing that we can certainly know is true is that they have that knowledge, and that they have an opportunity to, with their corruptible nature, make a decision that is not in accordance with God's true judgment of good and evil. There is no discernment between good and evil. There is only a knowledge and a chance to make their own judgments. And what happens, right? What happens with that? Man has screwed it up. When we make judgments, when man makes judgments without considering what God believes is right and good, he makes a decision based on his own knowledge of good and evil. So if you turn over to Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21, we can read about that and see what happens. Isaiah 5, verse 20. I'm making my way there myself. There we are. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Take a look at what's going on here. We see a clear example of the corruptibility of man and what has happened when man takes it upon himself, those who are wise in their own eyes, to make a judgment between what is good and evil. They mess it all up. God has an idea of what is good. He knows authoritatively what is good and authoritatively what is evil. And he says, man, who is wise in his own eyes, who is not judging in congruence with God's law, is judging something that is good and calling it evil, and judging something evil and calling it good. And that has happened because we are corruptible, and when we take it upon ourselves to make that judgment and don't rely on God to do so. But it's also important to note that there is good and there is evil. And that is what God uses to make his judgment. Let's take a look at Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. And we again see an example of the corruptibility of man, and how when man takes it upon himself to make a judgment between good and evil, he messes it up. It shows us why. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can see that by deceiving ourselves, we may fall into the trap of calling something good evil and evil good. And verse 10 shows us how God handles this. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. How can we overcome this problem of corruptibility? We know that if we are left to our carnal vices, we would mess it up and be deceived. But what is God doing here? He is searching the mind and testing the heart. But what is he testing it against? What is he searching to find? He's searching and testing to find if our judgments, if our heart, if our mind are in subjection to God's truth. I pointed out before that there is good. God knows what is good. He is testing our mind to see if what we think is good is the same as what God knows is good. He's testing our heart, searching our heart to check us, to see if we, in our heart, are in harmony with what God believes, what God has established as good. God's judgment is true, and that stands. Solomon knew this, and if we turn over to 1 Kings 3 and read verses 9 through 12, you'll see how he handled this. He was very aware of the fact that his carnal judgment was not sound without God. And let's see how he handled this situation. 1 Kings 3 and reading verses 9 through 12. This is Solomon speaking. Therefore, give to your servant, speaking of himself, an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? What is Solomon asking for here? He is asking God to grant him the consistency, the ability to discern good and evil, just as God does himself. And God was very pleased, continuing in verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after. Discernment between good and evil was very important to Solomon, but he wanted it to be right. It was not enough to know and to judge for himself between what he thought was good and evil. He wanted to know what God believed. He wanted to put in his own heart, in his own mind, that righteous discernment between good and evil that comes from God. That is very clear. And understanding is important too. This is wisdom, understanding the difference between true good and true evil. He wanted to rely on God for this and know how he judges. And God granted it to him. It was very pleasing for God to hear this. Now, just as God tests us, we have to ask ourselves the question, how can we create that ability to judge between good and evil? It really is an important thing. If we are if it's an important thing for us to make that righteous judgment, how can we do it? Solomon asked God for that help, and he received it, which is very encouraging. And God also, when he is testing our minds and searching our hearts, he tests. And I want to focus on that point. I'll read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 for you. And here we read, "Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." There is the key. We need to test what is good. We cannot judge without testing what is good. But what do we test against? We test our judgment against that same thing that God tests our hearts and our minds with, God's truth. We have to test everything against God's truth in order to know if it is truly good or evil. It is vital for us to understand that. I'll read 1 John 4 and verse 1, where it says something very similar. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Testing the spirits, testing these judgments against the truth and of what God has established as good. Now, how do we know what God has established as good? This is the second key. If we are to test what is good, we need to know what to test against. And if we know that the truth of God is what is right to test against. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 2 and read verses 12 through 16. This is very important for us to know. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that is what helps us discern between good and evil. We need to know what is good. We need to live in a way that we are testing what is good against the truth and understanding that we are granted with the Holy Spirit. You and I, being baptized, have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. That is a critical piece, and we need to use it. If we want to be successful in overcoming this world, we need to overcome ourselves first, with our corruptible and sinful nature, which causes us to be deceived and incorrectly judge between good and evil. And the only way to do this is to discern rightly, as God does, by making use of His Holy Spirit living in us. This is the exclusive way to correctly judge all that really is good.